Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Real Deal Quinn, on this 9th of November 2021, as I host, along with a special guest of mine, another great episode of the final season, season 5, episode 3 of Insecure Pressure. Okay. That was the title. Pressure was the title of this episode, and it was a very aptly pro title, to say the least. The last two episodes, of course, I've been joined by, again, a very special guest, one Tiffany Queen Quinn. What's up, Queen Quinn?
What up, what up?
She's back with us. You know, she made it to first cut. Made it through first cut.
The audition.
Made it through the audition. So hopefully is a permanent fixture. So this episode, no Issa, no Molly. This was a Lawrence Kindola episode. We got Lawrence at the end of the episode one, but that was like the last scene, basically. About 2 minutes or a minute, if that. So this really was the introduction for this season of Lawrence. What are your initial thoughts of the episode and the introduction of Lawrence?
This is the episode I was waiting for. Hold on, I'm sorry, I'm getting some feedback. Episode I was waiting for. I mean, the way that it moved, the subject, the emotional pull that I was, waiting for. I loved it. I think we finally got our answer to how, I mean, I don't know, from like last season, like where him and Kindola stood with having the baby and everything. So I think we now know that he has a baby. So, this was what I was waiting for. The first two episodes. Now, I mean, and this show always does it. It makes sense after a while, how they're moving as far as like with the episodes, So clearly first one was Issa, second one was really Molly focused. And so now we're moving through, these characters.
Yeah, I think this was a highly anticipated episode, because there were some concerns that in terms of not concerns, but there were people were wondering about how they would use Kindola throughout the course of this season, and how that dynamic, that Lawrence Kindola dynamic, would go. So we get this. The episode kicks off with Lawrence on a date with a attractive young lady, in my opinion. I don't know I don't know how you felt about it. I'm not
prepared. Sure, she was cute.
They're on a date and, they're talking, going back and forth a little bit, flirtatious, and, she basically, says you're cute, and he cracks her, says something, asks her, makes a dumb statement about the rail cars and the trolley circus, whatever. They're doing date
small
stuff.
Small talk,
yeah. Date stuff, introduction to each other. So then Lawrence gets a text, and it's like, he gets a text and says, hey, you're a father. Not only you're a father, you're officially a father. As he gets a text, I'm assuming from Kindola's family, which we will talk more about. That the baby's been born. He, leaves the date, and, pays for it, pays for, whatever the food and whatever the date was, as far as the meal and the drinks, and rushes to the hospital, gets to the hospital. And we see that he is, the proud father of a new baby boy, Elijah Mufasa. We'll talk more about this. Oh, Lord. These names, boy, I tell you.
Put some respect on it, okay?
We'll talk more about that. I got a couple thoughts on the name, or names, I should say.
Okay.
So we meet some of her, we meet her family, the mother who is played by, we meet the mother played by Layla Rochon, who,
Layla Rochon, yes, I didn't even know who it was at
yeah,
first.
That was Sunshine, and you know, she's been a number of stuff over the years, and my like, I'll leave it like this. I'll be honest with you, I barely recognized her. She's the mother, and then we see, I was confused, was that a sister or the best friend? Seemed like it was her best. Was
that's
that
her sister.
That's her sister. Okay, that was her sister.
Nah, it's her sister.
I just, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, episode was just fresh in my mind. I just watched the episode. Yeah, that's her sister, who was played by Kiki Palmer. Everybody knows who Kiki Palmer is. So we get the family introduction. She's, you know, they're going through that. So Lawrence sees the baby, and we get a, you know, get kind of get a taste of what the family is, a little bit of what the family is like. They, what were your thoughts about the scene, you know, those two kind of connecting scenes where he leaves the restaurant on the date and, you know, goes to the hospital and you know, meets not only his baby, new baby boy, but also a part of the family.
Yeah, I think it told us a lot about what we haven't seen. Right. So, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry, technical difficulties here. Oh, can't mess up my role here.
Good.
No, I think what, let me put a little do not disturb on. Okay. I think what we got to see what we haven't. Or it tells a lot in between, right? You know, clearly he's, I don't know, you know, and so because, and I, literally the first time that he's meeting Condola's family. So, that was a telling moment that, you know, this was clearly his decision to not really process, which is her pregnancy or whatever.
Yeah, it was some strange energy. Like, of course, the family is happy. They're happy for her. But when he comes in the room, the energy definitely switched. They weren't rude, but you can tell they gave him, you know, I don't want to say the side eye, but let's say side energy.
It was really Kiki. It was more
Kiki. Yeah, it was more the sister.
Yeah.
Than the mother, but yeah, that definitely was a sign of things to come. So, what are your thoughts on the Condola? Like, I guess we can get into best scenes, and then I'll ask you your thoughts on their dynamic. In terms of where their relationship is at. So they go to a baptism. The baptism was a classic black baptism where you have them, the baby, a number of family members. This was a really star-studded cast as far as like guest stars. I mean, Layla Rochon, Kiki Palmer, Harry Lennox, if everybody remember, dancer from the Five Heartbeats. He's one of those actors that you just know, you know by face. You don't know face and name at the same time.
Yeah.
You know by face. He's one of those guys. Been around for a while. He was Lawrence's father.
Lawrence's father. We saw him like first season.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute. Never know. If you get in good with Issa Rae, you know, get that bag. she take care of black actors.
Right.
So we see that going on with the families. We see the uncle being an uncle, the classic embarrassed the hell out of everybody uncle, giving him $5. So it was just a bunch of stuff going on with his baptism. Then we see the mother, his mom, who has questions about how much water was, if the baby was entirely blessed or not loved. I'm going to take her to Pastor so-and-so to get the full blessing, the full water treatment, the full baptism. So it made for a classic example of this push and pull with families, different personalities. And even during that particular scene, we still see the energy wasn't, now we'll get into the birthday party, because that's when it really got, heated as far as with those two, with Mars and Condola. But we see Condola, I'm not even going to say doing the most, but we see her playing the overprotective mom and not quite sure Lawrence's role as far as a father. What are your thoughts on the baptism scene? /party.
The baptism, I think, again, I think just overall, this is showing how in relationships, you don't really, if you just communicate, you'll be on the same page, And so we've gone through a lot of them just trying, right? And so they're trying to figure out this whole co-parenting thing. The baptism, you still have this tension that's happening. And of course, the birthday party leads up to them coming to a head with, them coming to a head and really needing to be checked with how he was responding, So, it's just all of this kind of could have been avoided if they really just communicated their true feelings, which is, Condola really wanted him to be a part of this process, but she gave him the out, and that's a classic, me being a Taurus, that's a classic, bullheaded thing to do, It's just I'll be okay, you don't have to be a part of this and whatever, but she...
Finish up your point, not finish up, but get back to your point about Condola, the out. As far as, because I want to get back to that, because that's an important point based off what transpired at the end of last season. So, you want to add anything to that? That's a real important point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really where a lot of their conflict comes from in this episode is that last scene we see with them last season. Of Condola saying, this was a mistake, quote unquote mistake, of course. And you don't have, I'm choosing to keep the baby and you don't have to be a part of it because it's my choice and, whatever. And like I said, I think it's just a matter of if she really didn't go there and just communicate it, hey, this is what happened and this is where we are. I would want us to be able to raise our baby together or, for us to work it out or I don't know. So, it's just a communication thing, and for Lawrence to even express that, he wants to be a father, but he also knows that this was bad timing, So, I think that's where they are.
Yeah, to your point that they danced around a lot of the episode with kind of their foot in the pool or their toe in the pool.
Yeah,
especially from Lawrence's, from Lawrence's perspective, he is missing appointments, and Condola at the same time is not holding his feet to the fire in terms of those disappointments because of the aforementioned, the out that she gave him at the end of last season and saying that you could be involved as you want to be, if not being involved at all.
Right.
She gave that out. She basically said that at the end of last season.
Yeah, and I think what they started to realize is that when it comes to a kid, you know, it's not about being like half-assing it. You know, you can't just be in and out when you want to. And I think they both realized that, in, like, about the commitment of it. And so that's when you see, like, the scene where she, you know, like, you let's don't get, know how he is because you haven't been here.
I let's get to no, before in, we, but, hold know, on, hold on. Hold on, hold off on that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's get to the birthday party, because at the birthday party, so they go. So this is they go there. This is in L.A. So they're in L.A. now. He's in L.A. and they are at his name's birthday.
No, party. He's in San Fran.
He comes to L.A. for the birthday party for what's name's birthday party.
Right.
Tiffany's the daughter, Simone's birthday party. So to set up this birthday party, you have Kelly hosting, which I was glad to see. The only Kelly, who's the godmother.
Yeah.
She's hosting. You have her brother, who was her cousin, who was supposed to be the mascot getting high. Which made perfect sense, knowing Kelly, how Kelly is. They bring Elijah Mufasa. They bring Elijah Mufasa to the party. So it's Condola, you know, you have Condola, Lawrence, and Elijah with a bunch of other parents and babies. So, you know, it's a big, you know, celebration for, you know, for Simone and all that. And you have Kelly talking about the speech Kelly gave about the saying that I don't like kids. She said, I don't like kids, but Simone is an angel amongst demons. Oh my, it was hilarious. It was classic Kelly. She gives that speech. And then you have, this is where it gets heated between the two, and this is where things really kind of fall apart. He's carrying Elijah has some carrots on his face, and Condola gets upset because she says we haven't introduced him to solid foods. She makes a scene. He's basically like, you know, calm down, you know, relax. Before things get way out of control, you have Tiffany's husband kind of say, you know, come up, not Tiffany's husband. Tiffany's husband.
Yeah.
Come up and kind of interrupt it, but without making it obvious in terms of, hey, Lawrence, I need you. I need you for something real quick.
Just pulls him to the side. Yeah.
Pulls him to the side, and then they have a conversation, and he basically, you know, checks Lawrence. He doesn't take his side. Says, look, man, this, you know, y'all got to figure it out as far as a team and what have you, how difficult this is going to be. And I think that was the first kind of eye opening to Lawrence, like, you know, this, you know, how we're going cannot continue as far as this, you know, in, you know, half in, half out, like to your point, half ass in it.
So
when you got your boy checking you, like he ain't coming out. I like the fact that he ain't come out like, yo, she tripping. You the man, all that bullshit. He checked Lawrence respectfully and really gave him some good advice. What were your thoughts on that interaction?
Rightfully so. I think right, that was a big turning point for Lawrence, because what he also realized, and I guess what she's trying to probably what she's feeling, is like, this ain't no weekend job. You know, you ain't been here, so you don't really know what he can have, what he can't have, how he operates, because you're only here, you know, when you pop in. And I mean, again, it goes back to that communication. If she, you know, I mean, because she's probably bitter, she could have easily communicated to him, or they could have communicated together about the whole introducing solids and all that kind of stuff. Like, clearly she's picking and choosing what she wants to share with him, you know. But like I said, that's coming from a very bitter place, I'm sure. And like I said, rightfully so. It's the way that he's treating this arrangement.
It's not working
for either one of them.
So I came into season team Lawrence, not in terms of Lawrence versus Condola. I never pit them against each other going back to last season. It was just more like, yeah, it was Lawrence and Issa, that situation.
Absolutely.
Lawrence was fucking up in this episode. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Lawrence is out here living like a bachelor father. Lawrence is popping in and out, you know, dating random chicks, doing his single thing, which is fine, because him and Condola are not together. But Lawrence, I mean, he took full advantage and then some of the rope that Condola gave him going back to last season, if we're being perfectly honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then some. Like, yeah, you can't miss, like, you can't say you're going to be there and not be there. That's where the woman starts to be like, hold up.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to go get my, because she wanted to go with her sister to get a massage, and she had to cancel.
Yeah.
Made a last minute cancellation with this text.
Work is
crazy. I can't make it. It's like, bruh, I'm working too, and I got a baby. What are we talking about?
Right, exactly.
So that was, there was a lot of pent up emotion, frustration. Like, she probably was doing too much, but it wasn't about the carrots. It was about everything leading to a head. Like, it wasn't just solid food. That was just, I think she was probably waiting she was going to snap at some point.
And again, remember, she's still kind of trying, because she that initiated them even going to birthday party together, you know. So she's really trying.
She wanted to be in a relationship with her?
I don't think it's necessarily that. I think she's just really trying to establish some kind of, and I mean, she could easily be trying to, like, have a relationship again with him, you know, whatever. But
I didn't get that. To be honest with you, I didn't get that.
And the only reason why I say that is because why would she want to go with him to this birthday party together, you know?
I think that was her kind of tossing him a bone.
Possibly, yeah.
I didn't get the fact that she think that would lead to them possibly getting back together. I didn't take it that way that she was trying to play this, we are, you know, we are family, we're gonna be family. I didn't get that at all. I mean I could be wrong. Based on how the episode ended, I don't think I'm wrong from that standpoint. considering where they ended up. So let's get to the big blow up. So this is after the party. And they're back at her place. So give some context here. He wants to take the baby to LA He wants to take the baby to San Fran. Just for overnight, something like that, mm-hmm. not too long. Now, mind you, she had already basically kind of shot down the idea of, during the baptism, of him
taking him for a week.
She was like, that's like a year. And he said, no, it actually is like only a week. And they kind of went back and forth. Uh-huh. He said, it's basically 2 years for a new mother. Again, that's the fact that Lawrence just doesn't get that whole, motherly, like, doesn't understand that connection between a mother and her son or a child. Right. So
more so it goes back to, like, nigga, we haven't talked about any of this kind of stuff. Like, they're just not communicating.
No communication. Yeah. No, it hasn't been any communication.
Yeah. And you just going to jump in here like, oh, now you're going to be daddy?
There were some jewels that could be learned for current and future parents, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a big, so he sends her a text saying, hey, would it be cool if I take him overnight back to San Francisco? I knew this wasn't going to work out because she reluctantly said sure. And again, sure, when somebody says sure, it's kind of a different ways you can say sure. Like sure is not an absolute yes. Sure can be like kind of like I guess. The way she right. hurt.
Right. Like, sure is my jam. That's my answer I go to. Sure.
The way her body language, you could tell by her body language and her facial expression that this was not going to be, this just wasn't going, it just wasn't going to happen. Like, I never thought that she was going to allow him to take the baby overnight. Never.
Yeah.
So totally. He comes in to pick up the baby, and she immediately goes into like kind of like panic mode about this, that, and the third, and saying that, hey, I don't think this trip's a good idea. They go back and forth, and then everything just comes to a head of her questioning him as a father, and then and him questioning, saying that she's, you know, basically being too protective and over, and basically even going back to last season where it says, you know, you blew up my life with this happening. This wasn't supposed to happen, and per se. You know, she says you're not a victim, which he's not. So all the communication that didn't take place over the course of however long from last season to up until this point took place in that one scene. And that's never a good thing when you let stuff just lay and without expressing yourself and without going back and forth, but with just when you allow things to kind of fester and stew. So that scene was coming. That you could kind of see that scene coming from a mile away. Even going back to the baptism. They get to a point. It got heated. Like, it gets to a point where he basically says, "I'm going to see my child one way or the other," which I took as, "Look, I'll take you to court if I have to." That was my interpretation. Yeah. What were your thoughts on this scene?
Of the which scene? Hold on.
The blow up between him and
the blow up, right? You know, it was going to happen. It was going to happen. Number one, they over here fussing about like, give me my baby. I'm gonna take the baby. You know, all of that kind of stuff. So like, it was going to get there. You know, I just think, they are. They're at a place where they're understanding that they need to figure it out, right? And what they're doing, of course, is not working. So they definitely hit some hard chords there, you know, like as far as like how they were coming at each other. But I think it needed to happen. It needed to happen. And of course, the follow-up was totally expected. I don't know if you want me to jump ahead on that, but yeah, the blow up again, like I said at the beginning, this episode gave us that emotional tug at something, you know? So now we're kind of like emotionally connected or emotionally, committed to both of their feelings, you know, because in some cases you can see his side of the story and you can see her side of the story, you know, like, and how they both are acting and feel or whatever.
So here's a couple things. I would say it was, to me, like 90% her side that I agree with and 10% his side in this episode. The problem is, and we talked about this earlier, is going, you have to go back to the genesis of this in terms of last season. She made an enormous mistake with the giving him an out as a father. I don't think that he,
that's not an option.
That's not an option. Like, this was we both had consensual sex, we were in a relationship, had a baby. I'm keeping it based on my prior. She decided to have a, remember early on, she had an abortion. So she didn't keep her first child.
Ah, yes, you're right.
Yeah. You got to remember that. Yep. And that's she said, I'm keeping this one. So it's, to me, that's like, to me, you don't, there's no option in terms of like, we need to do this together, even if we're not together. You want to give Issa? Cool. But this child still needs a father in his life.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't even be the option. So that was her gigantic mistake of even giving him that option, per se. Because, listen, parenting, you know this, and even though not being a parent, I've worked with kids for 19 years, been, I see my mom and what she did as a single parent. The hardest job on earth by far. It's not glamorous. It doesn't get glamorous until they graduate, more likely. From high school.
Well, I don't think it ever does, right?
To your point, there's very few glamour points. It's mostly a grind. It's mostly a lot of work that's not seen. A lot of time that, you know, people, it's 24/7. So the shit is hard. I actually that's the understatement of the year, but it is absolutely some of the hardest work possible. And you give somebody an out, I'm not saying Lawrence is a bad guy, but human nature would say,
and it also talks about, like, I mean, it touches on how, you know, naturally women are automated, most women, you know, like, you know, a few, but most women are connected to that right away. They find out they're pregnant and, you know, there's a fifth or whatever. And so, like, I think for men, sometimes it takes, or seeing the baby for the first time, you know? And so I think that's what we're seeing with Lawrence, is that he was able to detach himself from that to some degree, I'm sure. Because I still, like you said, Lawrence is the best guy, you know. I think he still has principles and morals and everything.
Right.
But I think, like, he was able to detach himself. And as soon as he saw that baby, that's when he connected, like, dang, I'm a father, and not only a father, but a father of son, you know, and having that connection. So you see throughout the episode, he's yearning to have that relationship and that connection. Goes and gets a crib and, you know, and setting up, and he's, you know, awaiting for his moment to be able to bond with his son. And so, yeah, like, I think, sure, she's going through the whole single mother kind of story of, you know, you're with the baby 24/7 and he's not. But I think that's where you see his conflict, is that that instinct it kicked in late, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Again, to your point, I don't think Lawrence is a bad guy by any stretch of imagination, or one of these, you know, he's not a deadbeat. But I also thought, and he said, I also thought that he didn't initially have the highest expectations for himself, or for as a father, because he said something interesting, saying that I'm here. Like, a lot of dudes would just bounce, and it's like, here, but you're not here.
Yeah, Negro, no, you ain't been here the last 9 months, clearly.
Right, yes. It's like, I think he was holding himself to the expectation of him versus a deadbeat. And of course, more than likely, you're gonna beat out a deadbeat. But that's still not enough. And that's what her basically message to him towards the end of the episode was, in terms of that blow up, like, the part time, like, what you're doing is not enough. It's cool that you're here.
Yeah.
It's cool that you haven't abandoned us totally, but no, that's not going to be.
And you saw the shift too. You saw the shift, because you saw, like, in the beginning, he was all in, you know, coming down every weekend, you know, all of that. And then he started to see, like, okay, all of that takes a toll. You know, he had one long day at work and was tired, and he had the option to say, oh, I'm not going to make it. You know, versus her, she, again, she's with this baby 24/7. She can't just say, no, I can't just, you know, let me, you know what I'm saying? And because there's also, I think, a trust thing that she's battling with him as well. And that's what she told him. She was like, I don't trust you.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, nigga, you ain't been around, you know? No. So how should I, why should I trust you with my kid? You know, when now you want to play, you want to play daddy. And so, yeah, he's starting to see again that that you will, we as the viewers see the shift in him as far as like being all in. And then, you know, you miss that one time and then it's a trickle down effect. You know, now, you know, you're thriving at work, you dating and you having free time to yourself while she's over here struggling, you know, to have some support. So, yeah.
Let's get to the
tough one.
Yeah, no, no question. Great, and by the way, great, great acting by both.
Oh yes, characters. Very much so.
They did
very much so.
Tremendous job in that scene.
Yeah,
very, very easy to overact during an argument and scene like that. And I thought, I thought their performance was measured but still explosive. To where you could feel the anger and you could feel like the build up. The blow up of the build up of all the frustration, especially coming from her. And rightfully so. We get to the airplane. So Lawrence is flying back to San Francisco by himself. She, of course, kept the baby.
Right.
After she told him to get the fuck out of the apartment, when he basically was, you know, kind of, I interpreted it as threatening, saying, I will take you to court to get my baby, to get my child. That was my interpretation. So he's flying on a plane, flying back to L.A. Or San Francisco. I keep getting those confused. His job is in San Francisco. And go through a little turbulence. And not just a little. So where I'm like, I was like, yo, they going to take Lawrence off the show? I'm like, what is going on? Like,
right.
I was like, no.
I know. That would be crazy. So
there's enough turbulence to where he basically, you know, is in tears or gets watery eyed, didn't go full crocodile tears, which again, very great acting by JL. Now the crocodile tears would have been too much, but just the watery eyes was just, that was enough.
I would have appreciated a drop.
You could have had, I mean, maybe. I liked the, just the worry, because I liked it in the last episode with, the first episode where Issa talking to him about that situation, saying with the worry eyes, not the full all out tears. I was fine with that. But basically you have him basically thinking that he might die and never see his kid again. Uh-huh. Other kids on the flights. There were other babies on the flights who were screaming. So that struck a chord. That triggered him.
Yeah.
And he goes and calls her. Or did she? Yeah, I think she called him.
He called her. Yes.
He called her, and they basically came to the conclusion that we all knew that what was going on was how this arrangement was not going to work out, and left you on one of those general hospital type. Stay tuned. What's going to happen next? And that's how the episode wrapped up. So what were your thoughts on the airplane and the final scene?
Airplane, you know, yes, it was very symbolic of his turbulent moment in life right now. I think it also was significant in showing, you know, how basically you got to seize the moment, you know, like you got to live in the now. And you can't take things for granted, you know, because life is precious, you know. So I think the turbulent thing, you know, if based off of how we're probably talking about it, it can sound like it's cliche, you know, or it's corny, but it actually worked, you know, I think in the moment. It worked in how, again, the flow of the episode, it worked for me, because I think it was really just representative of just where he is and how he needs a huge reset, you know, And I guess moments like that allow you to reflect on that. So I also think it was kind of metaphoric as well, you know, because it could have been that it didn't even happen. Like in real life, it could have been a thing like this was something that was going on in his mind, you know? So I think that's how I took it.
Yeah. It was a turbulent episode. I mean, to your point, you think about it and really, when you look at his relationships right now, let's look at not only with Condola, but with Issa, a lot of turbulence going on with those two. Those are those are his two prominent relationships right now. And they both are kind of like, you just don't know what's going to happen. So I think it definitely was some, like you said, to your point, metaphoric from that standpoint as well. And even though, Issa was not in this episode, similar to last week when Lawrence was in an episode, their presence in terms of their impact on each other was still felt.
Absolutely.
Maybe more so him with Issa than Issa with him this episode, but I still think there was there's still that Issa shadow was still looming.
Absolutely.
In terms of where he's at in his relationship status.
And I hate so much because like this brings me back so much to those first 2-3 seasons. Like, I mean, and like I said, I'm Team Lawrence all the way. Like I yearn for their relationship and I just hate seeing when they're separate and like they're going through like all again, this turbulence, you know? And I'm just like, cause I feel like they're so meant for each other. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of how that plays out. Who was your MVP of the episode?
I'm going to go. I've been a Condola fan. I'm going to go Lawrence. I'm going to go Lawrence. I'll take it back. I am going to go Kelly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I can see that. I mean, to me, it was easy. It was Condola Lawrence, that combination. I thought. The Condola Lawrence was an obvious one because they dominated the episode. But Kelly is like we've spoken before last week. Kelly is the ultimate scene stealer. Like she's. Her efficiency is high.
She's floating around social media right now. That scene of her where he's like, "How's everybody doing?" And she's like, "All my friends are thriving in abundance."
Yes. Yeah. No. That's
so.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That was a little subtle shot at Lawrence. Very much about.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without
question.
And you know what was also funny is that this could have been not necessarily poor writing, but whatever. But it was very odd that Issa and Molly weren't at the birthday party because, you know, Tiffany is like one of their good friends. So you would think that they would be at the birthday party. So I think they could have like.
I love the fact that they were not at the birthday party.
It would have totally went somewhere else.
You could have wrote them in without question.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things. Number one, I think their presence is so big and so looming that it kind of would have taken away from what the episode was about, and it was about control. Condola, and also they're not parents either. So I think that worked with them not being in that scene or the episode. I had zero problem with it. I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't miss either one of them at all. I'd be perfectly honest.
No, it's not that I missed them. It was just odd, meaning as far as storytelling.
Right.
Because we know them to all be together, especially you talk about special moments like birthday parties. You know what I'm saying?
You could easily make a case for them being at the party, and if they're in the party, I don't think like the way I have so much trust in the writers, I don't think that they would have taken away from the I think they would have found a way to make it work per se. But I had no problem with them not being in the episode and not being at the party. Another Kelly Def reference.
I caught it.
Yeah. Lawrence, I died, and he was like, "What?" You know, he didn't.
Yeah. You're right.
I hope I'm wrong. I just hope. This is two out of three episodes. The last one that they've talked about this. And it's like, I hope I'm wrong. Like it's
I do too. That'd be mad morbid. Oh,
Kelly is my favorite. Kelly is my favorite character, and even her dialogue in this episode talking about angels and
being you're on to something, because I think, like we said, it's gonna have to be something that's like real life, you know, that kind of breaks everybody down and bring, you know, reality again, talking about like how life is precious, right. I don't know, you might be on to it.
Damn, Kelly, I hope. I purposely did not watch the previews to the next episode because I wanted like some fresh.
I always watch it.
It doesn't matter. I know you watched it. What do you think about moving forward? Like what are your thoughts about the
I don't know where they're going. I mean, you said you did. Do you want to hear about the preview? No, go ahead.
That's fine.
I mean, the next episode is really it's another Issa, Molly, all of them. They're all together again. Okay. You know, like the crew, and we see what's the boy name? What's my boy? The other dude. I know their names. My brain just ain't working right now. What is his name?
Yeah, I'm about to look it up.
Houston. Come on now, Houston. But anyway, we see him and he, you know, So that's what's happening in the next episode. So again, I don't know where they're gonna go, like, as far as like I'm always anxious to see how they're gonna bring everybody together, like, especially, you know, the Lawrence Issa kind of thing or whatever. So
Nathan comes back. Okay
I wonder if Daniel comes back. I need oldies to come back.
Wonder if Daniel will come back.
I don't know.
They can go with it. I think what they're gonna do. All right, so they've laid out the main characters. Issa, Molly, you know, Kelly's a scene stealer. They've done a lot of Tiffany as well. We've seen her. And now JL's character, of course, Lawrence, he was the other main character as well. So I think the table set. So now it's like, okay, I wonder how they're going to navigate these pieces in regards to your point. What are they going to do to kind of connect them?
Yeah, I don't know. And now I'm starting to think like, I don't want to think it, but I don't think Lawrence and Issa are going to make it. I really think that we're going to see the end of it, them moving on. Because that's a hard thing, I'm sure, you got to think about it. Like, in real life, that's a hard pill to swallow, you know, knowing, like, somebody that you're in love with done had another baby with somebody else. And, it makes it even more awkward,
I don't think neither one of them emotionally is in a place to be in a relationship with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, just the whole, you know, Issa trying to figure a lot of shit out and unpack trauma.
No, it's going to make me sad.
And then Lawrence trying to navigate, like you said, not navigate father. And the fact that Lawrence looked like he's doing well with his new job. Like, it looked like
But I mean, he got to make big decisions too, you know, like if you want to be in your child's life, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to definitely looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah.
So listen, if as far as I'm concerned, they are absolutely 3 for 3 in regards to the episodes. Like the flow, how they navigate these first three episodes in terms of introducing these or reintroducing these characters,
Yeah.
has been, I think, near flawless. Again, I'm just bracing myself for the Kelly death.
No.
I don't want it to happen, but it's I've seen too many shows. I've watched too many shows where I can like the foreshadowing and the you know,
Especially
subtle.
finales, though. Especially
Yeah, especially
finales.
last
Finales hit
season.
hard. Yeah,
Yeah,
they hit
especially
hard.
last season. It's like this would be the perfect time. Like they can only take a character out in the last season. Like they wouldn't take a character out any time before. But the last season, yeah, it makes too right now. It's just making too much sense to take a character out. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to watch. One thing we didn't get to last week that we I was kind of upset that I didn't get to. I hate when I forget to talk about stuff that I want to talk about. But the whole mini controversy with Amanda Seals and her character wearing AKA Colors.
Ah,
What were your thoughts on that? I know it's a couple weeks old, but I'm gonna get to it anyway.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's so funny because I have a few AKA friends, and one of my friends told me, she said corporate even sent out a whole email about it. So the whole issue was like, they didn't give permission for her to wear these letters. And so my whole thing was like, we've known that Tiffany was an AKA since season one.
Forever, yeah.
And apparently she wore it in season one too before. But their whole gripe about it was that Issa didn't get permission again for her to do this. And I'm just like, all right, y'all. Y'all do, okay, I'm a whole HBCU alum, okay? So I get it. I get it, but I'm just like, all right, y'all, calm down. It's a show. If anything, it's promoting your organization. So there's that. And y'all got enough perpetrators up in these Greek organizations anyway. That's nothing, okay? That's nothing. This is Black excellence on the TV, so just take it.
Well, here's a couple things. I have a couple things. Number one, Deltas was absolutely laughing at y'all. I'm telling you right now, I know Deltas, they were laughing at y'all, laughing at a at AKAs. I mean, like going hard, like, word, this how y'all move? This is not this, this wasn't this couldn't be us. We would be celebrating. They were like, we would be celebrating Issa and it would be sisterhood. All the deltas love this. All the deltas loving this, loving this. But in all seriousness, if I can be serious about this shit, it's too it, the internet and social media is too many group
That's too
thinkers.
much.
Too many group thinkers. And it's like anybody could say anything, and they're gonna be a group of people who agree with it. And
Absolutely. Bandwagon.
people who say wild shit know this,
Yeah.
and they know
Yeah.
this. And I'm like,
Yeah.
it's a television show. She
Exactly.
didn't. She didn't. She didn't piss on the colors.
Exactly.
I'm like, yo, her character. Her character is a AKA. She's a character. This is not real life. I don't know if you remember Jamie Foxx's bit when he's talking about Any Given Sunday and LL. He said ML Cool J actually got into a fight because LL took the scene too serious.
Oh,
And
yes, I have heard
Jamie
about
Foxx is
this.
like, Jamie Foxx is like, nigga, we are acting. This is
We're
we are
acting,
we don't
right?
play football for real.
Yes, yes,
Like, you see these pads?
yes, right.
It's like sometimes it's like that. And again, I'm laughing, but this is so serious in terms of what
This is too much,
social
like.
media creates this fantasy that's not reality.
I have a thing that one of the directors that I've worked with, that he says that I love and I've kind of taken, and I say it as well, is like, if we're focused on that, then we have bigger problems to worry about.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, meaning that means the whole episode must have been some straight shit if we focus on this AKA sweater, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you gotta, yeah, the world is doing the most and the social media is even more on some other stuff, you know, where they have to pick apart every single little thing, you know, that is completely irrelevant. And we understand, and this is no disrespect to the AKA organization, like, you have your principles and everything, and I totally get that. But again, we're talking about the bigger picture here, you know.
Is this really what you want to focus on? Like, considering that,
or more than anything, why you got to make it public? Why can't you, you know what I'm saying? Like, why can't you just keep that behind the doors?
Yeah, you know,
y'all can keep that conversation.
Oh, easily. No, but that's, you see, no. To
whatever,
your point,
yeah.
That's too easy. That's too simple. That's why you see all these Twitter fights. It's very so.
Right.
Here's the thing.
So now, yeah.
And I don't want to get too appreciated, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you have a problem with someone and they express that problem over Twitter, they don't give a shit about you, period.
They don't.
It's a phone call. It's a meeting. It doesn't have to be. It's definitely don't got to be on Twitter, Instagram.
Or you searching for the clout. That's what the kids say. You searching for the clout.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to next episode again. Tiffany, Queen Quinn, Rookie of the Year. Does it again.
Stop yourself in it.
We will reconvene sometime next week.
Sure.
Episode 4. And I'm sure I will be another dynamite episode. As always, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And again, they have your Instagrams, and you know, Queen Quinn at Twitter, or Queen Quinn at Instagram,
Queen Quinn 5678.
That is going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I did want to say one last thing, and you can actually chime in. I just want to give thoughts and prayers to those lives that were lost down in Houston at Astro World, that whole concert, which just something that absolutely should never, ever have happened. So thoughts and prayers to those families.
Stay safe out there, people.
Yeah, definitely. I will see y'all next time. Enjoy the rest of your evening.